Welcome, welcome. I'll introduce you properly in a minute. I want to share a few thoughts to start with. Thank you, Laura, for leading such an amazing set of worship. That was just amazing. And a lot of hard work goes into that. And just for praying through May, it's been an amazing month of prayer. And things happen when you pray. So keep praying next month. But we're going to just shift gears completely, all right? Get really practical, as this month has always been about the practical things of life. We've done how to do with life change, you know, moving, age transitions, all the different changes that we go through. I forgot what else we did. What else have we done?
Technology.
How to deal with tech crazy world. That was pretty fun. And just some great insights from the panel then. Work. How to make work work. And the whole reason behind work and the blessing of work and how to deal with the challenges. So if you missed those, they're on the app, of course, and YouTube, etc. But this one is health and fitness and well-being for everyone. Is that what we've got? I think so. Health, fitness, and well-being for everyone. And so I wanted to invite an expert panel up here because I know some of the people at church who actually do this, not just talk about it.
I'm not so sure.
We'll get to that because I've had a confession this week. So I had the first question, and just as a way of introduction, I'm backwards. I want to share two scriptures. That's right. Hang on. I'll look at my notes some more. Here we go. Here's some thoughts of why we should value our bodies. See, there's various views in our world around the value of our bodies, ranging from extreme overvalue, right, to a sense of we're not valuable at all. So the Greek mindset actually had this idea that we have got no value physically, only the eternal things are valuable. But what God comes and says to us is that actually our physical bodies are important. It's not just about our eternal life. It's not just about our prayer life. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. This is such a stunning verse of value. Male, female, differences, you know. Every single person on the planet has immense value. No matter where you're born, what nationality you have, your gender, your age, you know, whatever it is about you, you are made in God's image. So that gives us tremendous value. We're not just an afterthought. We're not just some kind of idea. We're not just evolved from some ape. I'd like to be more than that, thank you. I'm created in the image of God. And this verse sets apart the value of me, everybody. But more than that, get this. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6 says this: do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Our bodies are temples. Now, what is a temple? It's a place for the dwelling of God. In the Old Testament, the temple was where God lived. And you actually went to the temple to worship God. And he lived somehow in a box called the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, right? When Jesus died, do you remember this? The temple curtain broke. It's like God escaped. Now the temple is in us and in the church together. It's a wild thought. So inside, if you're a believer, you carry the Holy Spirit inside of you. Wow. So what value does that put on your physical body? And last thought, Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Get this? We think this worship is coming and singing songs. That's one part of worship. Paul's saying here, your spiritual worship is actually how you use your bodies. How do you present your bodies as a living sacrifice? So if our bodies have great value in God's sight, then how we care for them matters. Our exercise, our food, our sleep, just the things that we think that we don't need sometimes are actually really important. God's designed us with limitation for his glory. We need sleep. We need food, good food. We need exercise. We need rest. We need well-being. We need times of refreshment. We need holidays. We've got to understand our world and the pressures on us. But let's dive into the bit which I think most people find the hardest. Exercise. Quick straw poll. Who loves exercise? Oh my goodness, that's awesome. There's about 10 people. Who finds it really hard? In winter. So, Wendy, Belle, Jonty, sorry, I'm backwards. I said here, just introduce yourself and your exercise regime, you know. Tell us, Belle, who you are and what you do for exercise.
My name's Belle, and my exercise regime is, I'm a hockey player, I play hockey, I take it pretty seriously, I'm pretty competitive. training, I do boxing and strength and conditioning, train for hockey once a week and play two times on the weekend for game. Yeah, that's what I do.
Wow, so during the week, yeah. How many times do you box?
2 to 3 times a week, yeah. Wow. Just depends on work and life, yeah.
Life.
But yeah.
And then hockey, what do you play? A grade hockey? Do you?
Yeah, I play Premier League and first grade.
That sounds high. And where do you play hockey? Like on the field?
Striker.
Like you're the one who scores the goals.
Tries to score the goals, yeah.
So you got to be fit.
Yeah.
All right, I'll come back to how you feel about it in a second. Wendy, now you also love exercise. I know this.
Yeah, I do. I haven't always loved exercise, but it's certainly become a massive part of my life in the last sort of 12 months. I mean, I've always been fairly fit, but I haven't always kept myself fit. Yeah. I jog a few times a week, sort of anywhere between 6 and 10 kilometres.
6 and 10? Yeah, at a time.
Yep.
not like 2 kilometres Monday and 2 kilometres.
No, all in one go.
Yeah, sort of thing. That's cool.
So I did my first 50-kilometre, marathon, but I certainly didn't run the whole thing, but I did my first one last year, so I'm training to do another one this year and then hopefully 100-kilometre next year. Yeah, but I don't run the whole way. It's like a run/walk. So that's my motivation. Well, one of my motivations for training at the moment.
Man, I'm feeling very... I'm feeling better now because Johnny's got a confession.
I do. Yeah. I do, and I can't get away with it because, you know, my housemates have never come to church and they're here today for the first time and they know everything about my fitness habits, so I can't get away with anything this Sunday. For a while we had some... So my name's Johnny. There was a bold ambition that was set down at the start of the year, which was to do an Ironman, which is a very big task.
Tell us what an Ironman is.
It's absurd. It's a 4.2k, no, 3.8k swim, 180k bike ride, and then a marathon.
42k.
42.5k's run.
Anyone know Ironman?
Scott has actually, the guy in red. Yeah. He has done an Ironman.
Awesome. take this
at
guy
this
away.
Point in time, you got way more credibility than I do. And then over the last little while, in the last month and a half between getting way too caught up in work to the sacrifice of exercise and then getting the flu, everything has crashed and buried. But it's fair to say that I probably wasn't training hard enough at the start of the year as well, so, you know, it can't just have work and flu as a cop-out.
Yeah.
But in the course of doing that, because, I mean, I do a lot of walking when I was sort of university and stuff, and then started transitioning to running, and I really enjoy running. Avid podcast listener, and it's just a good time. And so up until recently, it would be running sort of 2 to 3 times a week, doing swimming once a week, and then trying to be on the bike at some point in time or another. And it's been a really good exercise. I mean, it's been humbling, that's for sure, in terms of bold ambitions. But, yeah, no, it's setting an extraordinary challenge and then trying to have a crack at it at the very least has been really eye-opening and has certainly made the idea of exercise so much more compelling and enjoyable.
Yeah. Fabulous. And I know that out there are some pretty serious exercise people too. So, Bell, I got a question here. Why do you do this? Why do you exercise?
I exercise because I enjoy it. And I think, like, I feel like it helps with my emotional and physical health, and yeah, it keeps me healthy, and yeah, that's why I do it. I like doing it.
Let's drill down there a bit, because I'm kind of merging two questions there together. I've said here one question: what's your link between your faith, your physical, emotional well-being? Like, is there a connection between your running and your boxing and your faith? Like, how does that work?
Like, together, or
yeah, like, does it help? Does one fuel the other?
Yes, because I feel like if I don't do any physical fitness, it affects my headspace.
Right.
Yeah, so just like training for hockey and for my physical fitness and skill, the same as my faith, if I'm not, you know, connecting with God in the Word, reading, coming to church regularly, I'm not going to be fit in my faith either. Like, I just... yeah, feel that they both have a connection that way.
Good. I'm going to come back because I think there's a link here. Wendy, why do you exercise?
I think for me, I needed a focus. Certainly in the last 12 months, I needed a focus on something other than other things that I was doing in my life. So exercise for me can really... flick that switch in my head that I need to be flicked. Like, if I, because I do suffer with mental health, and being able to exercise and push my body to extremes, just for whatever reason, helps me to get a better handle on my mental health. So getting up at 5:45 in the morning and going for a jog and having ice on my eyebrows by the time I finish because it's so cold, that actually just makes me go, yes, that is, I'm so glad that I just did that.
Wow.
So, and it, yeah, with the link to faith, I was only reading this morning about your body is a temple, and I know that when I'm not nurturing my body and doing things that I know are good for my body, then that affects my faith. And then if my faith is... If my faith is not strong, then I'm less likely to exercise. It's so linked together. The more I exercise, the more faith that I have. It's just so, like, the more likely I am, like, if I get up and go for a jog, the more likely I am to get home and pick up my Bible and have a look at that, or rather than stay in bed and just feel sorry for myself worrying about all the worries of the world. Yeah, it just really helps to... that switch in my head.
Wow, this is good. John, do you any thoughts on that one? Why you exercise or were going to exercise but didn't?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, I'm living through sort of that period of time where I know what it's like not to be exercising for a portion of time.
Right.
So I completely agree with what's been said. And a big part of the reason I really enjoy exercise, not only because I enjoy the actual activity, but I know what it's... what not exercising is like, and I hate being in that state of sort of malaise and funk, where you're dismotivated, and it, you know, when you put in that tiny little bit of effort, you get rewarded tenfold in anything we do, but it's particularly true in exercise and our health. And for sure, after exercising, I definitely want to way more inclined to pick up my Bible and things like that. Absolutely, I mean, I don't think there's huge thing to add.
I want to talk about the link between body, soul, and spirit. Now, you can read lots on this, right? But we are an integrated whole. We are not just flesh. We're not just a soul, we're not a spirit. So when I talk about our body, I'm talking about a physical body, you know, arms, legs, heart, you know, all the things that take up our physical flesh. When I talk about soul, it's the deepest part of us that God interacts with. And it's linked with our emotional well-being as well. So think soul as our kind of deep part, emotional well. And then think spirit is, we have a spirit that links with God's spirit. And so all these things come together and they are not disconnected. So when one part of us suffers, the other part counterbalances or kicks in. So if we think we can live the Christian life without looking after our bodies, we're kind of a little bit half-hearted about that because we're not integrating our whole body. We're not valuing our whole self as a whole being. Or if we only look after our physical bodies, as some people in our world do, you know, just you would meet lots of people at the gym, you know, but they're probably not looking after their physical, their spiritual well-being. They're not in touch with God. And so it's good to view ourselves. We're very complex. I mean, the human being is incredibly complex. But these parts are integrated. They're not disconnected. And so I love what you're saying. When you go for a run, you feel like something happens in your soul and it helps your mental state. Is that right? Yeah. That's amazing. Question. So, and you don't have to answer this, but have you ever felt really it's hard to exercise and you've really had to push through? And maybe it's either a physical ailment or an emotional space that you've been in that's just kind of kept you down from exercise. You know, there's times when it's really hard, not just winter, but it's just you're either emotionally spent or physically you're just completely whacked. Can you think of a time like that that you actually, how did you get out of that space? How did you get back on the hockey field? Or is there any space like that you can identify with?
Yeah. I battle with self-doubt and, every week, before a game, that I'm not good enough or whatever, but the only way that I can overcome it is just praising God that he's given me the ability to do what I need to do, just speak, declaring God's word over myself, building myself up, and, that's the only way that I can overcome something that I battle with every week. So, yeah.
So you're applying your faith to your physical well-being.
Yeah.
You're praying.
I ask for help to play and, I every week.
Wow. And do you win every week?
No,
I'm
every
just
week. No. But, I feel like a sense of, God's with me and I can do it and, there's that battle in everyone faces battles in their minds or whatever, and that's just something that only because I'm a perfectionist and got to do everything properly and want to do the job well, so
totally. So you need divine help in your body to do what you have been called to do. Nice. Any other thoughts on that?
I've suffered with self-doubt and insecurities before as well. I think probably I've struggled with, exercise is probably a bit of a crutch for me, but there's been another crutch in my life that's been there for quite some time that I've, am getting a handle of, and I've been able to use exercise to help, to sort of help overcome that, but I think for me, I have to be careful as well that exercise doesn't become my next crutch.
Totally.
Because it's all good and well to think, well, I'll just go for a jog to get myself in a better headspace, but I can't just always go for a jog or always go and do a pump class, or I need to be able to also just rest in God and be able to do that. But I think I was thinking about what I was going to say up here this morning, and I know an example is... the 50-kilometre that I did last year, I was in a really bad headspace. Physically, I wasn't great because I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing to my body. And I didn't really prepare for the race. I did one 20-kilometre walk the week before. Prior to that, I hadn't really done anything for about 6 months. I didn't have any electrolytes excuse me, in my pack, so my body, I wasn't feeling my body properly. I bought a pair of trail shoes off BuySwap Sell the week before, so my feet were not... So by the end of that race, I had no electrolytes left in my body. My whole body basically seized up. I tore my calf muscle in about 23Ks in, so I had to walk 27Ks with a pulled calf. So that also made my body just... I wasn't physically prepared to do that race, but I got through it because... But I think I am getting to the point. This year, when I do it, I think because I've built up that fitness and I will have the right shoes and I will have electrolytes and I will, have trained so that I don't pull my calf muscle, that is, I'll still get to the end of the race, but it'll be a lot easier. And I think that's like that with my faith. If I arm myself, build up my faith, then the other challenges in my life, like the other crutches that I've had to deal with, they're easier to deal with because I've built up that resilience, I've built up that faith. They're easier to deal with, I guess.
So I like what you're saying. You're saying that you could use exercise instead of your faith to pick you up. Is that
I think I could easily fall into that trap.
So that is a trap.
It is a double-edged. Whilst I'm obviously keeping myself fit and healthy, that can't be focus can't outweigh my focus on God.
Yep, I see that. And so that's a good perspective. Don't just use exercise, but somehow they work together, right, to fuel you. John, do you have experienced that? Any thoughts there?
It's definitely something that I experience. And often if you're on a roll and then for whatever reason, a harder day at work or you're dealing with something, there are a few more distractions and you fall out of your routine, and then you have that what would normally be your exercise time and you go, I don't really feel like it. That's usually when you most need to exercise. It's that moment, and so often, if you can have the presence of mind to recognise that, what I tend to do is, I go, all right, I definitely don't want to do this right now. Absolutely, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I accept that that's what I need, and try and just ignore the fact that that's the impulse of don't do it and just set about doing it. Even if it's a smaller goal, it's like, all right, I won't run 5Ks, I might run 2, just to get moving. And I think that's how I set about going, because I know that either I'm feeling in a funk, then it's like, all right, what does that mean? That means I probably do need exercise and I probably do need to be praying. And if you can have the presence of mind to do that, then you can more or less... just accept that's what you need and then go and do it.
Can I drill down there? And I want to come back and ask another question. People here, like myself in winter, I'll be honest, it's hard, okay? It's cold. I like mornings. I do like to get out. When I'm running, I love it. But, it actually interferes with my prayer life, to be honest. But if you're sitting here thinking, how do I take that first step, all right? I know I should be doing more, but, it's hard. You're in a funk, good word. How do you just get out? How do you start something? What's the first step? What would you advise people just going, it's winter, I'm just going to hunker down and then maybe spring. I'll do the edge of jog.
No, for me, it was walking.
Walking, step.
As a step, because you immediately start carving out the time. Usually, I know people like to listen to music or podcasts or audiobooks. It's such a pleasurable time, or you can be, walking with your husband and wife or your girlfriend, but having an opportunity to just go out and walk, I find, is just so refreshing. It pauses your day, you're present. One of the things that, kind of go back to the kind of body and soul thing, and being embodied. So often today, and I was listening to a guy who was sort of reflecting on just having done a marathon, And one of the things he said is so often we find ourselves trapped in our bodies. We're on our phones and we're scrolling, we're in the workplace, we're looking at our screens, and everything that we do is as an interaction with something else that isn't embodied. We're not physically moving. And so when we actually exercise, we are connecting with our bodies in a way that when you get in a funk and that malaise and you kind of get it caught up with the work and life, we find ourselves in this weird situation where you kind of feel trapped within your own body. And the way to short circuit that is to use your body.
I like that. So this might be, I'm wanting you to think, what can I do tomorrow morning or this week? If you're in that spot, and that's, walking is great because all you need is a pair of shoes. Well, I love swimming, but to be honest, by the time you get dressed and undressed and drive to the pool and whatever, pair of shoes at the door, you're gone. So maybe that's a good bit of advice. Just start walking. Any more advice on how to get just that first step if you've not exercised for a while? What would you do?
I probably wouldn't set a super high goal.
Like an Ironman?
Yeah. Pardon?
Like an Ironman?
Yeah. Just start small and gradually work your way up to, or maybe set a goal, like an achievement that you want to do. Take it easy. If it's not something that you normally do every day, start small.
Yeah. Wendy, anything else? Advice?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's cliche, but starting is the hardest part. Like you always feel better after you do. You will always feel better. So even like a minute into your walk, you'll already feel, oh, gee, I'm glad I'm out doing this. Yeah. So just get up and just do it.
just do it.
Simple as that sounds, but yeah.
No, I like it. Another tip would be find a friend who's going to meet you at your house at 6 o'clock. That's a good one.
Yeah. Bit of accountability.
Yeah, totally, totally. So this is really good. So I'm hoping you're thinking, you know, if you're just in that spot, a walk is actually beautiful in winter. It really is. The morning light and just fresh air. It is lovely. Last question. Around body image. Like all of us struggle with body image, right? It's how we feel about ourselves. We live in a hyper image world where we're seeing all kinds of images on all kinds of screens that possibly don't match up to us. Guys and girls, I know particularly possibly for teenage girls is probably the hardest, but all of us at some stage of our life just feel like, man, I'm too something, you know? Does exercise help your body image? Your sense of I'm okay with who I am, with the shape I'm at, with the mindset I've got, does that help you accept yourself?
Oh, yeah, it does. Like I don't really think about it in the physical sense, but it just if you feel good on the inside, you feel good on the outside. It's pretty as simple as that for me.
Yeah. What about you, Belle? Does it make you feel?
Yeah, pretty much the same, yeah.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, I know people who really struggle with body image and things like that. And when I see that, I find that such a tragedy because it's a misconception about oneself. Mm. And I think, when you're exercising, you know, you've got, it's like you're doing an activity. You know, you're fit and healthy. You know, you can do those things. And the mere fact of knowing that you know, you're doing something that is keeping you healthy, I think, goes a long way. Mm. But I think for us as Christians too, I mean, we really should have a lot of, we should strive to have a peace about the bodies that we have. And actually accept that peace and live that spiritual life. Because I find it such a tragedy when people have those misconceptions and the things that we can do in our own to improve those things, body, soul and mind, body, soul and spirit, is really good. And then encouraging others in the right way at the right time, I think, is also really important.
Yeah.
But it's simple. It's, you know, no bold ambitions. It's walks and company. Yeah.
Walks and company. There you go. Anything else to add before we wrap up? This has been fantastic.
That was all the questions you gave.
Yeah. And that was enough. Oh
This has been a great conversation. And I do hope that it started something or perhaps encouraged you in something. So why don't you give these guys a hand? Thank you so much.